From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. America's financial crisis has spread across the world. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. The Federal Reserve, along with central banks in Europe, Asia, and Canada, rushed to inject more than $180 billion into global money markets.
President Bush made a brief statement today trying to assure Americans.
Our financial markets continue to deal with serious challenges. As our recent actions demonstrate, my administration is focused on meeting these challenges. The American people can be sure we will continue to act to strengthen and stabilize our financial markets and improve investor confidence.
For a sense of how Wall Street's woes have been playing out, today we check in with a few markets around the world. Our first stop is Asia.
Thomas Easton is Asia Business Editor for The Economist. He's based in Hong Kong. And tell us, what did Asian markets do today?
Well, there was a panic this morning, and then they rebounded really sharply this afternoon when the governments came in, and they came in very, very powerfully. So the markets closed, I think everything but the Philippines actually closed pretty close to where they began earlier in the day. But the beginning and closing price doesn't really capture the drama of what happened. I mean, they fell off a cliff and then they rebounded.
You know, initially you say there was a panic, and then the worldwide central banks injected this $180 billion into the global money market, and that significantly calmed down the markets and calmed down investors.
It wasn't just money going into money markets. The Chinese government has taken a number of overt steps, and you really can't underplay those steps. They're very, very important. CIC, the Japanese Sovereign Wealth Fund, has announced it will buy shares directly in the major Chinese banks. And this comes just after the Chinese government decided to cut rates for the first time in many years. So all the people in China who hope that the government will overtly manipulate the market are now thinking it's finally beginning to happen. So in terms of the stock market, this was just a huge factor, and it can't be underestimated. But, you know, the stock markets out here represent just a tiny fraction of the speculative frenzy. Just to be explicit about that, I think the property market has been doing somersaults. In Hong Kong and in China, it was just a booming market throughout last year and the year before. And some people say until March, when it started to really cool down. But just because it started to cool down did not stop all the landlords and all the builders from still pricing their properties as if it was still continuing to go up. But this summer, you know, they weren't getting bids. People were supposedly starting to fall through on housing purchases that they had made. And with the Lehman announcement, a number of developers say the bottom really fell out of the market. I mean, buyers just stopped. Commercial leases that before they would have asked for huge increases in rentals and then maybe not given you the space anyway, they're now, you can negotiate your terms. I mean, the change in attitude has been extremely, it's been the most dramatic thing I've seen in several years. So I think the property market is a very important litmus test for what's going on out here. And it went from being unbelievably bullish to quite frightened in a very, very short period of time.
How would the Lehman Brothers collapse affect the property values in Hong Kong?
There are tough negotiations that always go on between securities firms and banks and other companies and landlords. And the companies always claim that they're poor, and the landlords always, I mean, it's just their tough negotiations. And with Lehman actually failing, I think it was the first sign that you really could have failure. And, you know, they've had failures and bank failures out here in the past. They had a crisis in the 1990s. I think they just felt that whatever the headlines were, whatever the drama was, you know, it was a negotiating tactic. Asia was growing. They were making investments. The story goes on and on. I think Lehman was a real wake-up call to say that these banks are having real problems. And I think everybody out here was absolutely shocked that a country could let an institution as prominent and successful and talented as Lehman to go down. And that's not saying it didn't deserve to go down or it shouldn't have gone down or whatever. I just think out here people were just stunned that it happened.
Thomas Easton is business editor for The Economist magazine based in Hong Kong. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now we go to a country that's been particularly hurt by this crisis, Russia. Over the last few days, the Russian government extended $130 billion in emergency support to help prop up its sinking stocks and improve liquidity. They had their worst stock market losses in a decade this week. Charles Clover of the Financial Times joins us now. And Mr. Clover, what is the situation there in Russia now? Is it going to be able to pull out of this?
The government has decided to take this seriously. The markets are actually shut for the second day in a row.
The government has announced a crisis package of measures, which basically involves pumping a lot of liquidity into the market and trying to make sure that it actually gets to the places that it needs to go. One of the main problems was that the interbank market, which is the banks lending credit to each other, had seized up over the last few days. And so basically it wasn't a financial problem, it was just nobody trusted each other. And so the banks weren't lending credit to each other, and so banks weren't able to pay off loans. And so there was a number of banks became insolvent, and one of them actually ended up getting taken over. But the government managed the crisis pretty well so far. The market is cautiously optimistic. After the announcement of these measures, which is just basically a lot of throwing a lot of money at the problem.
And what are some of the dangers that you see potentially lying ahead?
Well, the problem, the big danger is the world market, which I think is one of the main reasons why the Russian market has fallen. I mean, there's just global market weakness everywhere. There's also the danger from the oil price falling for the Russian market. The Russian market is very correlated to the oil price because oil is their chief export and their main source of foreign currency. The other problem is just kind of an existential problem that the investors are having with Russia. I mean, obviously, a lot of this started after the war in Georgia. Foreign investors started pulling money out of the Russian market. And that just indicated this kind of uncomfortableness about where Russia is headed and whether, you know, Russia is really committed to global integration and liberal economic policies, or whether it's taking a turn towards sort of right-wing nationalism, isolationist-type policies. And a stock market crash combined with the war is not very good for the credibility of the liberals in the government. So that's one of the things that people are having to assess, is whether this sort of signals some sort of fundamental shift in the way Russia is going to be governed from now on.
Charles Clover is the Moscow bureau chief for the Financial Times. Thank you.
Thank you.